the day of judgment. He created all, including man. To man, He gave a very special place in His creation. Allah honored man to be His agent, and to that end, endued him with understanding, purified his affections, and gave him spiritual insight, so that man should understand nature, understand himself, and know Allah through His wondrous signs, and glorify Him in truth, reverence, and unity. The Creator has periodically chosen human beings to reveal His messages to mankind. These chosen or selected people are called prophets. Quran refers to many prophets such as Abraham, Noah, David, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Jesus, peace be upon them all. Islam is not a new religion. The Quran refers to Islam as the religion of all these prophets. It is simply the last of the divine messages to reach mankind through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was chosen by the Creator as the bearer of His last and all-encompassing revelation. The Quran, which literally means recitation. Quran contains 114 chapters revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was revealed during a period of 23 years. The divine revelations were manifested in divine inspiration, which the Prophet uttered in the presence of his companions. These 114 chapters were revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in Mecca and Medina. These are in Saudi Arabia at the moment. The word Islam means peace and tranquility. It also means submission and obedience to command of Allah. Allah is the Creator, Master and Sovereign of the whole universe. Allah is the source of peace and perfection, and whoever turns to Him for guidance is blessed with peace, happiness, and perfection. It is up to man, and man alone, to seek this life of peace and happiness. Brothers, remember, Islam is a message of peace, and Islam has done everything possible to save and protect human life. Just like Gospels, which our Christian friends say, Hadith means words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Sunnah means the deeds of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, Sunnah means all actions, words, deeds which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has performed. I would give references of books which contain both words and deeds of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The number one book name is Bukhari, second book is Muslim. These books, translations in English, French, Urdu, etc. languages, these are all available at leading bookshops. The people of the book is a special term accorded to Jews and Christians in the Quran. People of the book means Ahl Kitab in Arabic it is called. This is because Muslims distinguish between a polytheist or an atheist and those who follow the prophets who originally received revelation from Allah. Even though a Muslim might point out areas of theological difference, we still believe in the divine origin of those revelations in their original form. For today's explanation, I have selected certain verses from Quran which deals with people of the book, Ahl Kitab. Additionally, I would be reading translation of some other verses from Quran also. Basically, my aim is to describe the Islamic concepts and beliefs in clear, understandable manner. Friends, remember one thing. The subjects covered in Quran are limitless. The more you read, the more you learn new things. Each reading will surely benefit you some way or other. So now let's start understanding the meanings of Quranic verses. Refer chapter 3, ayat reference 64. Say, O people of the book, come to common terms as between us and you, that we worship none but Allah, that we associate no partners with Him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. In the same chapter, refer verse 71. Ye people of the book, why do ye clothe truth with falsehood and conceal the truth while ye have knowledge? As a matter of fact, according to intellectual capacities of human beings, the religions were sent. For example, Judaism came in the Torah at the time of Moses, peace be upon him. Then an advancement of man's mental faculties occurred, and Christianity came at the time of Jesus, peace be upon him, to complement the mission. The man's mental power attained full blossom, and God sent the complete message to mankind through his revelations to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who came approximately 600 years after departure of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. This 600 years period was truly the dark ages of the world. Religion was corrupted and standards of morals fell low. Many false systems and heresies arose, and there was a break in the succession of prophets until the advent of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Quran gives mention of this break period. Refer chapter 5, verse number 19. O people of the book, now hath come unto you, making things clear, unto you our messenger, that is Muhammad, peace be upon him, after the break of the series of our messengers, lest ye should say, there come unto us no bringer of glad tidings and no warner from evil, but now hath come unto you a bringer of glad tidings and a warner from evil, and Allah hath power over all things. Again, in chapter 5, ayat references 15 and 16, O people of the book, there hath come to you our messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him, revealing to you much that ye used to hide in the book and passing over much. There has come to you from Allah light and a clear book, wherewith Allah guides all who seek His good pleasure to ways of peace and safety, and leads them out of darkness by His will unto the light, guides them to a path that is straight. The completeness and comprehensiveness of Islamic faith is proven by the discontinuance of sending heavenly revelations to earth through messengers. For Islam addresses all issues and problems of man on earth at all times and places. Again, refer Quran, chapter 4, 47 ayat. O ye people of the book, believe in what we have now revealed, confirming what was already with you before we change the face and fame. Additional verse of Quran reference I would give here. 61 reference, ayat reference 6. And remember, Jesus the son of Mary said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah sent to you, confirming the law which came before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad. But when he came to them with clear signs, they said, this is evident sorcery. Let's look at the titles of various religions from where these religions originated. If you look in depth, you'll find every religion of the world has been named either after its founder or after the community or nation in which it was born. For instance, Christianity takes its name from its prophet Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, Buddhism from its founder Gautama Buddha, Zoroastrianism from its founder Zoroaster, and Judaism, the religion of Jews, from the name of tribe Judah. Islam enjoys the unique distinction of having no such association with any particular person or people or country, nor it is the product of any human mind. It is a universal religion. Man has been endowed with reason and intellect. He has the power to think and form judgments, to choose and reject, to approve and spurn. Man is free to adopt whatever course of life he chooses. He can embrace any faith and live by any ideology he likes. Unlike other creatures, man has been given freedom of thought, choice and action. In short, you can say, man has been bestowed with free will. So any individual who chooses to acknowledge his creator, that is, accepts Allah as his real master, submits himself to the laws of Allah and follows the code, is a Muslim. Islam means submit to the will of Allah. The other meaning of word Islam is peace and tranquility. On the other hand, kufr literally means to cover or to conceal. The man who denies Allah is called kafir, concealer, because he conceals by his disbelief what is inherent in his nature and embalmed in his own soul. Kufr is a form of ignorance. What ignorance can be greater than to be ignorant of God, the Creator, the Lord of the universe? Besides endowing man with the capacity to acquire knowledge, the faculty to think and reflect, and the ability to distinguish right from wrong, Allah has granted him certain amount of freedom of will and action. In this freedom lies man's real trial. For example, his knowledge is a trial, his wisdom is a trial, his power of discrimination, and his freedom of will and action. These are all being tried and tested. The life of a Muslim will always be filled with godliness, piety, righteousness, and truthfulness. He will live in the belief that Allah alone is the master of all. Muslims believe that one day he'll have to return to the Lord and submit an account of his entire life. The sense of accountability will always remain implanted in his mind, and he'll never behave irresponsibly. I'm going to recite the meaning of a verse from Quran, but before this, listen. We human beings can rise to the highest level a creature can attain, but they can also sink to the lowest depth. What determines man's elevation or fall is his response to Allah's message and his implementation of the divine law. Here is the meaning of the Quranic verse, Rebel chapter 95, verse references 4 to 6.
We have indeed created man in the fairest form. Then we brought him down to the lowest of the low, except for those who believe and do righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only sent the people, but he sent his prophets also. What these prophets did is very well known. They explained divine guidance to mankind and provided a practical code of living, which has been given its complete and perfect form in the message of Islam. Therefore, when human beings implement or practice Islam, they reach their highest level. When they abandon Allah's guidance, they sink into the depth of ignorance in which Satan tries hard to keep them in dark. Listen to some more examples of the distinction and honor conferred by Allah to man. Man is raised to a position of honor above the brute creation. He has been granted talents by which he can transport himself from place to place by land, sea, and now by air. All the means of sustenance and growth of every part of his nature are provided by Allah, and his spiritual faculties, the greatest gift of God, raise him above the greater part of Allah's creation. Should he not then realize his noble destiny and prepare for the real life in the hereafter? Refer Surah Isra. The night journey, or the meaning of the surah is night journey, or Bani Israel, the children of Israel, which is chapter 17, ayat reference 70. We have conferred dignity on the children of Adam and born them over land and sea and provided for them sustenance out of good things of life and favored them far above most of our creation. If you understand above verse, you would note the divine message offers a unique approach towards establishment of human rights. It teaches believers that the rights of the human beings must be maintained and guided. Not only guided, these should be guarded also. Whatever their homeland, whatever is their race, class, or even faith may be, I'll repeat Quran translation again. We have conferred dignity on the children of Adam and born them over land and sea and provided for them sustenance out of good things of life and favored them far above most of our creation. Allah, who is the creator and sovereign of the universe, chose man for his special favors. He gave man the most honored and the most elevated position in his creation. He granted him freedom of choice, freedom of will, freedom of action, and gave him authority to acquire and make use of things around him. As a result, he seems to have converted this world into a virtual paradise. He has managed to invent innumerable things for his comfort and convenience, things that were once considered impossible and beyond man's reach have become a child's play these days. But the point is, has man fulfilled the purpose for which he was created? In spite of unprecedented progress and living amongst all sorts of modern conveniences, is he really happy? Has he managed to attain the peace of mind that he deserves? The answer is no, because looking at the chaos and turmoil of today's world, man is neither happy nor he is living peacefully. Man can work wonders with the outside world he lives around. For his inner peace, he has to turn or submit himself to Allah. Different races and cultures represent a sign of power and wisdom of Allah. He has created an enormous variety within which all individuals and groups are equal and should cooperate among themselves. But these differences should never overcome, or these differences should never become barriers to enjoying the same human rights which are decided by the Lord of the worlds. This is mentioned in Quran, refer chapter 30th, verse reference 22. And among his signs is creation of heavens and the earth, and the variations in your languages and your colors. Verily in that are signs for those who know. Also refer chapter 49, verse 13. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female, that's Adam and Eve, peace be upon them, and made you nations and tribes that ye may know each other, not that ye may despise each other. Verily the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous of you, and Allah has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. Justice should be secured for all people of different beliefs as long as they are peaceful. And Muslims are urged to be kind and generous to others. I repeat, Muslims are urged to be kind and generous to others. This is given in Quran, refer chapter 60th, verse reference 8. As I told you a while ago, the human race began from Adam and Eve. Adam, peace be upon him, the first man on earth, was also the first prophet of Allah. He revealed his religion, Islam. Adam taught his people that Allah is one, the creator, the sustainer of the world. Moreover, he taught that Allah is Lord of universe, and Allah alone should be worshipped and obeyed. Those of Adam's descendants who were good adopted the right path, but those who were bad abandoned their father's teachings. Some began to worship the sun, the moon and the stars. Others took to the worship of trees, animals and rivers. Some believed that air, water, fire, health, and all the blessings and forces of nature were each under the control of a different God, na'udzubillah, and the favors of each one could be won by worshipping. In this way, ignorance gave rise to many forms of polytheism and idolatry, and scores of religions were formulated. This was the age when Adam's progeny had spread over the globe and formed different races and nations. Every nation had created a different religion for itself, each with its rituals of its own. Allah, the one Lord and Creator of mankind and the universe, was forgotten. Every kind of evil custom grew. Many evils began to be considered right, and many right things were either ignored or condemned as wrong. At this stage, Allah began to raise prophets among every people in order to make the vital facts clear to humanity and to guide them to the right path. Someone may ask a question: why Allah chose prophets from human beings only? Why not any other creature? Now tell me, can anyone other than human beings understand human nature? Humans, their emotions, their feelings, countless number of day-to-day problems? Obviously the answer is only a human being could very well or totally understand another human being. Of course, there are several other answers or reasons associated for selection of human beings as prophets. I have given only one such answer. Anyway, let's proceed further. Each prophet reminded his people of the lesson They had forgotten, in order to convince people, Allah sent His signs in the form of miracles through His prophets. The reason of preaching of the basic result of preaching of the prophets was the idols worship was put to an end. The miracles of the prophets is a wide topic. Let's not discuss here. Let's discuss at some other time. What I want to tell you is a different thing. Allah's true prophets, all of them possessed one and the same religion. That is the religion of Islam. No doubt, the methods of teaching and the legal codes of different prophets varied in accordance with the needs and the stage of culture of the people among whom they were raised. When people were in the primitive stages of society, civilization and intellectual development, their laws and regulations were different, and those were very simple. They were modified and improved as the society evolved and progressed. Such differences were, however, only superficial. The fundamental teachings of all religions preached by these prophets were the same, that is, belief in the unity of God, Almighty Allah, adherence to a life of piety, goodness, peace, and belief in life after death with its just mechanism of reward and punishment. All the prophets of Allah were perfect examples for humanity to follow. In the light of the divine knowledge revealed to these prophets, they explained the facts of the unseen life, that is, life after death, in the best possible manner. But what was the reactions of people? Now listen to their attitude towards prophets. Some prophets were expelled from land. Some prophets were badly harassed. Some people accepted their prophets during their lives and practiced their teachings. After the death of prophets, people induced their own distorted ideas into their religions. They adopted novel methods of worshipping God. Some even took to the worship of their prophets. They made the prophets the incarnations of God or the sons of God. Some associated their prophets with God in His divinity. If you review the history in the early times, when geographically nations were cut off from each other, that stage there were no mutual contacts. Allah sent in the beginning separate prophets among different nations or groups of people. For example, Allah sent two prophets at a time also, and teachings of each prophet was meant specially and specifically for His people. The Quran, on the other hand, is Allah's message to mankind. It is not limited to any community or grouping. It embodies a complete way of life for people to implement. It supersedes all previous messages. It serves as an ultimate verdict, stating very clearly what is acceptable to Allah and what is not. We can say that Allah chose to send these messages to people at different stages of their development. When humanity had reached its maturity, Allah sent down the Quran as His final word. He has guaranteed to preserve the Quran as a permanent source of guidance for all mankind. It's a message of glad tidings. This is a message of glad tidings of Allah's mercy. And if they do not turn to Him, it's a warning against sin and the inevitable punishment. Allah selected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam among Arabs for a common world religion, Islam. Islam covers all aspects of life. It is a complete and full-fledged system. Allah not only selected Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but revealed his divine book, Quran. The divine message offers a unique approach towards the establishment of human rights, with its deep roots in the human heart and mind, and with its comprehensive perspective. To believe in Islam is to believe in absolute monotheism of Allah, that is, in His divine oneness. In this sense, Islam is highly universal. The individuals we, human beings, are considered free to choose the truth or the falsehood. Muslims submits to the will of Allah, that Allah is one and only one. Can anyone say why people adopted Islam? Of course, there are several answers to these questions. Let me highlight just one of the answers. Why people adopted Islam is because they found Islam to be a universal, practical religion. Even though prior to Islam, the people were from different geographical regions, they practiced traditional faith, they had unparalleled and diversified culture, unparalleled to Islamic culture. The third level at which Islam asserts universality is at the social level. Respect for the social values and rights of others is an Islamic imperative. The only time that Islam sets a check on non-Muslims' social activities is when those activities are meant to threaten or harm the internal cohesion of the Muslim community. The type of society which Islam envisages is a harmony in diversity. In the political arena, Islam recognizes between different communities and nations. There exists reciprocating demands which generate the need for cooperation. In this respect, the history of Islam is filled with examples of pacts and treaties which the Muslims conducted with their non-Muslim fellow citizens. Not least of all in this regard is the pact of Yathrib, the old name of Medina was Yathrib, in which the Muslims entered into an agreement of peaceful coexistence with the Jews and pagan Arabs of Medina. Even during war times, the civilizing influence of tolerance should be observed. In a sermon to a departing army, Khalif Abu Bakr, Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, addressed the soldiers, "When you are fighting for the glory of Allah, acquaint yourself as man, but let not the blood of women, children, or the aged be a blemish on your victory. Do not destroy palm trees, do not burn houses or wheat fields, never cut down fruit trees, and don't kill cattle unless you are forced to eat them." The rights of non-Muslims under Islamic rule categorize themselves under two important principles: that they should be protected from external threats and that they should be protected from all internal oppression and exploitation. In this regard, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "He who hurts a non-Muslim citizen of an Islamic state hurts me, and he who hurts me hurts Allah." This has been described in a hadith book called Tibrani. People who say Islam was spread by compulsion or aggression or by power of sword, let's read meaning of the Quranic verse. "Let there be no compulsion in religion, This is, I'm reading the chapter 2nd, verse 256. Let there be no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. Whoever rejects evil and believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that never breaks. Religion depends upon faith and will. These would be meaningless if induced by force. Quran not only prohibits compulsion in religion, but it prohibits aggression as well, although it allows defense. Refer chapter 2nd, verse 190. Fight in the cause of Allah those who fight you, but commit no aggression, for Allah loves not transgressors. Allah has most graciously provided man with all that he needs in this universe. Generally, every newborn child arrives in this world endowed with eyes to see, ears to hear, a nose to smell and breathe, hands to touch, feet to walk, and a mind to think. A child on opening eyes finds food in mother's breast. His parents love him instinctively, and in their hearts has been planted an irresistible urge to look after him, to bring him up, and to sacrifice their all for his welfare. Think for a moment. Allah would not have created women, all around the world just men. The friendship of two men is quite different in quality and temper than that of a man and woman. Is this not a great favor of Allah? He created us in pairs. Quran speaks on this subject also, therefore chapter 30, verse 21. And among his signs is this, that he created for you mates from among yourselves, but ye may dwell in tranquility with them, and he has put love and mercy between your hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. Children's relationship with their parents is not merely biological. This is evident even among animals when their offsprings are small. However, man being the best creation of Allah, parent-child relationships, this is most sublime in human society. Islam essentially addresses all human matters in full accordance with nature. Children's relationship with parents gets due emphasis in Islamic law. Allah commands in Quran, show gratitude to me and to thy parents. This is chapter 31 and verse 14. In various ayats or verses of Quran, we are ordered to honor our parents so much so as to urge Allah to show mercy to our parents in their old age, not to speak a word of contempt for them, to address them in terms of honor. All of these ayat, that is verses, offer lessons of civilized and good behavior to human society. There are many traditions or sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explaining the importance of parents. Prayer is the most acceptable human deed to Allah, said our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The questioner asks further, what comes next to prayer? Listen what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied. Serve your parents. Gratitude to parents is not a verbal exercise. It must reflect in one's behavior. Its first manifestation or requirement is to respect them as well as taking care of them in their old age. I would say the fact that one can never repay the countless sacrifices made by parents for their children. Relationships between parents and children demand sacrifices. The sacrifices parents made when we were young gave them such a high place and privileges that a son is not allowed to go to jihad without his parents' permission. The son will be rewarded equal to jihad if he serves his parents. Moreover, according to one tradition, the son will be rewarded equal to one pilgrimage to Mecca on his every look at his parents with kindness and affection. Punishments are very severe for bad behavior with parents. Muslim society has a complete social setup. A social system has deep roots in human values. For example, a Muslim respects his parents and elders, gives proper love and care to his children. A Muslim takes care of his neighbors. He takes care of his relatives by giving Islamic zakat to them, whoever is deserving or needy. This way a Muslim community builds up good and civilized social setup. With regard to the revealed scriptures, let us start from Quran. What are its main contents? What are the commandments, etc., given in Quran? In fact, Quran speaks in powerful, moving language of the attributes of Allah, His immense power and creativity. It also speaks of the certainty of the coming of the last day and life hereafter. It also narrates the histories of some of the earlier prophets and peoples as an example and encouragement to prophet and his community and as a warning to those who deny God. Its main theme reiterated over and over in powerful terms is the reality of Allah's existence and His supreme power, the purpose of His creation and of all that occurs, and man's position as God's slave. Quran is the greatest gift of God to humanity, and its wisdom is unique. Quran guides humanity to straight path. The Holy Quran is the only divinely revealed scripture in the history of mankind, which has been preserved to the present time in its exact original form. For although parts of earlier revelations, such as segments of Torah, given to Moses, the Psalms of David, that is Zabur, revealed to David, and Evangel, Bible, that is Injil, revealed to Jesus, peace be upon them all, these all still remain. They are so heavily intermixed with human additions and alterations that it's very difficult to determine what part of that constitutes the original message. In contrary to this, take the example of Quran. It has been preserved in the exact Arabic wording in which it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and in the exact order in which he himself placed it as commanded by divine revelation. About revealed scriptures, I'll read some translations of three Quranic verses. Chapter 46, verse reference 12. And before this was the scripture of Moses as a guide and a mercy, and this scripture, that is Quran, confirms it in the Arabic tongue to warn the wrongdoers and a glad tidings to those who do good. Chapter 5, verse 46. And in their footsteps we sent Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming the law that had come before him. We gave him the gospel, that is Injil. Therein was guidance and light and confirmation of what is in hand of the Torah, a guidance and an admonition to those who fear God. The last reference of Quranic verse of the revealed scriptures is reference chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. It is He who revealed to thee, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the scripture of Quran in truth, confirming what is in hand of the scriptures that went before it, and He revealed the Torah and the Injil before this as guidance to mankind, and He revealed the criterion of judgment between right and wrong. Then those who reject faith in the signs of Allah will suffer severest penalty, and Allah is exalted in might, Lord of retribution. How can anyone distinguish a true prophet from an ordinary person? Because there are instances wherein some people claim themselves to be prophets. Of course, this is a big topic by itself. I won't be going into details, but let's complete first the divinely revealed scriptures topic. How one could know or judge whether a book or scripture is divinely revealed one or the one which is written by man, or a man-made book claimed to be divinely revealed scripture? In such a case, it is necessary to establish some rigorous criteria which are generally acceptable in terms of logic and reason. These criteria should be such that, in the light of them, a person may search or examine any scripture, whether it is the Quran, the Old and the New Testament, or any other religious text, and decide for himself whether or not it deserves serious consideration as coming from the Lord of the universe. Now, I have described in 10 different points. Point number one, the person claiming to have received revelation should be known as an individual of unblemished character and morals, of whom no evil or sin is known. In particular, he must be known for his honesty and truthfulness. Second point, the words of the alleged scripture should be recorded exactly as they were received from the divine source, without the slightest interference or change. The original scripture should remain intact and accessible to anyone. Fourth point, there should be no confusion among its concepts and teachings. Fifth point, nothing in it should be contrary to the objectively observed facts of the natural world. The sixth point of divinely revealed scripture's identity is, it should appeal to man's reason and rational faculties rather than to irrationality, superstition and the like. The divinely revealed scripture should not attribute to God anything which is contrary to his unique, exalted and transcendent nature. Eighth point, it should emphatically deny to anyone other than God the right to be worshipped and obeyed. Ninth point, the Holy Scripture should emphasize brotherhood and equality among human beings. The last point, I would say, if anyone who wishes to check if a given book is divinely sent Holy Scripture or not, it is the Scripture should provide spiritual insight and moral guidance of the highest order. Having described the basic points of divinely holy scripture's identity, I would say anyone can examine Quran in the light of these basic points, but one point must be remembered, which is important. You must read Quran with open mind, uncolored by earlier preconceptions or prejudgments about Islam or Quran. When such is a reading, every reader would confirm Quran is a divine scripture or the holy book sent by Allah, the Almighty, who is the Lord of universe, most exalted. While the topic of Quran's authenticity is being discussed, I feel it essential to tell you few facts about Quran. Say, fact number one, the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for almost 23 years, which is totally consistent without any contradiction, confusion or change. Another point, the wording of the existing Quranic text, of which there is only one standard Arabic version throughout the world, remains word by word as Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, received it, and its verses and sections are in the exact order which are commanded by the divine revelation. We observe that the language of the Quran is completely unique, sublime, exalted quality, which is also different from the speech of any human being before or since those days until now. All of us know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know how to read or write, nor was he learned in any branch of knowledge. You will notice the language of Quran is so eloquent, sublime, and of the highest order of literary style and expression. Moreover, the Quran contains innumerable references to the teachings of Christianity and Judaism. It contains the histories of earlier prophets in such depth and detail as could not possibly have been mastered by anyone who was not literate. Can anyone explain the Quranic text which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, 1400 years ago, contained ideas that have been discovered in modern times? No one would deny the fact, 1400 years before, no resources, no sophisticated machinery was available. How could Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, say several things which are just in accordance with modern discoveries? Friends, remember, Islam doesn't condemn science. Search for knowledge is a strict duty for every Muslim man and woman. Seek for science even in China. Arabs have discovered algebra, astronomy, physics, that is only in physics, optics, geology, botany, medicine, etc. Quran contains information about unseen realities which can be known only to the creator of all worlds. Not only does the Quran contain objectively observed facts, but it repeatedly reminds man to use his reason and logical faculties to verify the truth of its message. In particular, it cites examples after examples from natural world as a proof of God's limitless power and wisdom. Another crucial fact is that Quran contains many observations on natural phenomena and includes explanatory details which are seen to be in total agreement with modern scientific data. There is no equal to this in the Judeo-Christian revelation. Quran discusses many subjects, example, creation, astronomy, the explanation of certain matters concerning the earth and the animal and vegetable kingdoms, human reproduction, with regard to observed facts such as the evolution of the human embryo. It's quite possible to confront different stages described in the Quran with the data of modern embryology and find complete concordance between modern science and the verses of the Quran. Of course, Quran contains many such verses. Only three examples are given here. Refer chapter 23, ayat 12 to 14. Verily we created man from a quintessence of wet clay, then placed him as a drop in a safe lodging. Then we made the drop a clot. Then we made the clot a lump. Then we made the lump bones. Then clothed the bones with flesh and then produced it as another creature. So blessed be God, the most, the best of creators. Another reference, chapter 24, verse 45. And God created every animal from water. Among them is that which goes or creeps upon its belly, and among them is that which walk on two legs, and among them is that which goes upon four. Allah creates what He wills, for verily Allah has power over all things. Quran is full of statements concerning the natural world which totally confirm to modern scientific findings. The verse which I read just now came into the light in the 6th century. I'm going to recite translation of one verse from Quran. For example, this is for people who are interested in knowing the balancing force which mountains provide to the earth, or the fact that the heavenly bodies all float along in orbit. Therefore, chapter 21, Quran verse reference 30 to 33. Do those disbelievers not see that heavens and the earth were of one piece? Then we parted them, and we made every living thing of water. Will they not then believe? And we placed in the earth firm hills, lest it quake with them. And we placed therein ravines as roads, that they may find the way. And we have made the sky a roof withheld from them, yet they turn away from its signs. And it is He who created the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. They float each in an orbit. Another Quranic verse reference, chapter 31, verse 10. He created the heaven, skies without any pillars that you can see. He set on earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and He scattered through it beasts of all kinds. We send down rain from the sky and produce on earth every kind of noble creature in pairs. He withholds the sky rain from falling on the earth except by His leave. For Allah is most kind and most merciful to man. This was chapter 22, verse 65. Another reference of Quranic verse, chapter 13, verse reference 2. He controls the sun and the moon. Each revolves in its appointed course in appointed period. Here the equilibrium of celestial bodies is explained. The more remote or distant the masses are, the weaker the force is that attracts one to other. The nearer they are, the stronger the attraction is that one mass or celestial body has to other. Truth, Allah's message, comes to any man or nation as a matter of sacred trust. It should be broadcast and published and taught and made clear to all within reach. Privileged priesthood at once erects a barrier. But worse when such priesthood tampers with the truth, taking what suits it and ignoring the rest. That is what people of the book did, whom Torah was given. Refer Quran chapter 3 verse 187. And remember, Allah took a covenant from the people of the book to make it known and clear to mankind, and not to hide it, but they threw it away behind their backs and purchased with it some miserable gain, and vile was the bargain they made. The fundamental principle governing Islamic morals is that whatever is beneficial to man is permitted and whatever harmful is prohibited. Say the harmful things could be hurting to human body, mind or soul, or injurious to his society. The harmful things can degrade his personality or lower his dignity. Factually, only Almighty Allah can possess the whole wisdom to know in absolute terms what is beneficial and what is harmful for the life of human individuals and their society. Since man, even the wisest or the best of them, are bound by a limited human understanding and perspective. In any case, if something is prohibited, many harmless or beneficial alternatives are provided among permissible things in its place, thus enabling human beings to satisfy their needs and desires. Now I'll attempt to define death in the light of Quranic verses. But before that, let's consider what our day-to-day observation concerning death. Can anyone live in this world forever? No. Whoever has come do not live permanently here, whether a human being is a man or woman, boy or girl, old or young, laborer or state chief, prime minister or president, or one can be amir or even the king, all of us would die one day or other. Moreover, no one knows when he'll die, after 40 years, after 10 years, after a year, after a month, or after an hour, or a minute. No one knows when he will die. Can anyone give guarantee that for sure he or she should live for another 10 years, or the like? Similarly, can anyone say with confidence the place where he is going to die? So no one knows the place. It could be in the office, the place could be in the hospital, one can die in the bedroom, the man can die on the road or on a journey. The angel of death doesn't look for daytime or the night time. Whether you are awake or asleep, he has to take the life. People around a dying person sit helplessly because they can't do anything for him. The poor dying person has to bear everything himself. No one could come to his rescue or help. He becomes so powerless and helpless that he cannot move any part of his body. He loses control of his tongue, and even he cannot move his eyes. The eyeballs become stand still. Think this miserable or pitiable moment is going to come to us also. Even one of us would certainly, each one of us would certainly face death. But before that moment, we have to get prepared ourselves. As Allah has given us this life, in a similar way, Almighty decreed that death should be common to all of us. This is a universal fact. No one can deny death. Death is inevitable. Surely, if Allah can give life and death as we see it, why should we refuse to believe that Allah can give us life again when this worldly life is over? Let's see what Quran describes about the death. Remember chapter 56, ayat reference 60. We have decreed death to be your common lot, and we are not to be frustrated. In another verse of Quran, chapter 21, verse 35, every soul shall have a taste of death, and we test you by evil and by good, by way of trial, to us must ye return. Another reference of Quran, chapter 32, ayat reference 11, say the angel of death put in charge of you will duly take your souls, then shall ye be brought back to your Lord. Another reference of Quranic verse, chapter 4, verse 97. When angels take the souls of those who die in sin against their souls, they say, in what plight were ye? They reply, weak and oppressed were we in the earth. They say, was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to move yourselves away from even? Such men will find their abode in hell. What an evil refuge. As a matter of fact, there are two things involved in death. Number one is physical body, and the second one is soul. So if anyone asks what is death, one can say death is the separation of the soul from the body. The body perishes or vanishes, and the soul remains. The soul will not die. But the death of the body will give a taste of death to the soul. When the soul separates from the body, the soul will then know that this life was but a probation. Therefore, Quran, chapter 3, verse 185, every soul shall have a taste of death, and only on the day of judgment shall you be paid your full recompense. In our life of probation on this earth, our virtue and faith are tested by many things. Some are tested by calamities and some by the good things of this life. If we prove our true mettle, we pass our probation with success. In any case, all must return to Allah, and then our life will be appraised of its true value. Recite Quran, chapter 6, verse 93. And who does more wrong than one who fabricates lies concerning God, or who says, "I receive revelations," when he does not receive revelations at all, or who says, "I will reveal the like of what God has revealed," and if thou could see, when the wrongdoers are in the pangs of death, and the angels stretch out their hands, saying, "Render up your souls this day, or you recompensed with punishment of degradation, because of what you spoke about God without truth, and because you scorned, rejected His signs." You know what for we, the human beings, are set on earth. Everyone knows very well, we are sent on this earth with a definite purpose. We are given several responsibilities. Now I'll start dealing with the subject belief in hereafter. So we are accountable to Allah for all our actions. Today's life is only a test and examination. At the end of this world, we'll be called upon to render a complete account of all our acts and deeds, whether these are in accordance or against the commandments of Allah. The time of accountability is fixed by Allah. The tenure allotted to mankind on this earth shall terminate on Doom's Day. It's the time when the whole human race will rise once again in the new world. The master ruler of the Day of Judgment is Almighty Allah. The requirements of due process of justice will be fully observed. A complete record of the actions of every individual, without the slightest alterations, will be put in the open court, and different forms of evidence will be presented. This is to prove man's deeds in private and in public, and the motives which inspired his conduct. No bribery. Of course, no advocacy against the truth will be allowed. No one will be able to shift his burden to another. Even the closest relatives, say your own son, father, mother, sisters, brothers, even the friends, your leaders, religious guides, or self-styled deities, no one would be able to offer any help to anyone. Man will stand by himself. He will be helpless and alone to render his account before Allah and await the pronouncements of the judgment, which shall be in the power of Allah alone. The same subject on believing hereafter, I selected some verses from Quran. Only a few have been selected. Refer chapter 36, verse 12. "Verily we shall give life to the dead, and we record all that they sent before, and that they leave behind. And we have taken account of all things in a clear book of evidence." Again, refer chapter 39, verse 70. "And to every soul will be paid in full the fruit of its deeds, and Allah knows best all that they do." A terrible picture of those who ruin their future is given in Quran. Refer to Quran chapter 20, verse 74. "Verily, he who comes to his Lord as a sinner at judgment, for him is hell. Therein shall he neither die nor live." So friends, remember, Islam asserts that present life is but a minute part of the totality of existence. The Quran informs man of the reality of another life of a very different nature from the life of this world. The life hereafter would be of death of infinite duration, whereas the life here is of a definite duration, fixed number of years, etc. Whereas the life in hereafter is infinite duration. Nobody knows how long it would be, because Allah, the all-wise, all-powerful Creator, is able to do everything He pleases, and He is easily able to transform His creations from one state to another. Again, refer Quran, chapter 22, verses 5 to 7. O mankind, if you are in doubt concerning the resurrection, then verily we created you from dust, then from a drop, then from a clot, then from a lump of flesh, both shaped and shapeless, that we may make it clear for you, and we cause what we will to remain in the womb of an appointed time, and afterwards we bring you forth as infants, then you attain your full strength. And among you there is he who dies young, and among you there is he who is brought back to the most abject time of life, so that after knowledge he knows nothing. And thou see the earth barren, but when we send down water on it, it thrills and smells and puts forth every lovely kind of growth. That's because Allah is reality, and it is He who gives life to the dead, and it is He who has power over all things. And because the hour of judgment will come concerning which there is no doubt, and because Allah will raise those who are in the graves. So this was chapter 22, verses 5 to 7. I have given the translation of Quran. Again, refer Quran, chapter 36, verses, reference numbers 77, 78 and 79. Does not man see that it is we who created him from sperm? Yet behold, he is an open adversary, and he makes comparisons for us, and forgets his own creation. He says, who can give life to bones when they are decomposed? Say, he gave them life who created them the first time, for he knows about every kind of creating. So this way all different verses were, references were given. Basically, the Quran commands us not to follow the Satan steps. The Satan or devil is indeed an open enemy for mankind. Satan tempts human beings to commit evil and indecency. When it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they say no, but will follow only what we found our fathers practicing, even though their fathers were wired of wisdom and guidance. This becomes indeed the worst type of blind imitation. Quran describes how the rejecters of faith follow their ancestral ways. Reference of Quran, chapter 5, verse 104. They say, enough for us are the ways we found our fathers following. What even though their fathers were wired of knowledge and guidance? In an explanation to this verse which I just described, I would say majority of us just follow what our forefathers followed. For example, a child who is born and brought up in Christian family practices Christianity. Similarly, a child of Hindu family, when grows up, follows Hinduism. A child of Muslim environment follows Islam. I ask the people, why do they follow it so blindly? Why doesn't a person study all the religions with open mind and take a decision? One need not go into details only with some study and consultation. He could decide which is the right religion. Nowadays, the boys and girls, the moment they grow up, they need the girl or boy of their choice. This is very well known. Similarly, for studies, whatever suits them, they join the course, wherein they get through easily. Say, examples I will give you. A doctor's son is not necessarily a doctor. An engineer's son is not necessarily an engineer. And people work so hard and struggle lifetime to develop or build their careers. As a matter of fact, what they think is, life in this world is complete. You have seen what I have given the descriptions of Quran. Friends, the life in this world is not at all complete. This is not true. There is certainly a much longer or rather everlasting life hereafter. Our real future or career would be the life hereafter. I think we have covered most of the points with regard to today's topic, people of the book. You know this expression, people of the book, appears in the Quran in several places or several chapters. So if anyone asks, who are people of the book? According to Quran, people of the book are Jews and Christians. Or you can say, Holy Quran addresses to Jews and Christians on various occasions. That's why their name with title, people of the book, appears in the Quran at several places. Friends, before I conclude, let's summarize step by step what has been discussed today. Initially, we started with understanding the meaning of Islam. What's the meaning of Islam? Islam means peace and tranquility. It also means submission and obedience to command of Allah. To believe in Islam is to believe in absolute monotheism of Allah, that is, in His divine oneness. Kufr and kafir were also described. Kufr means to cover, to conceal, or to hide the truth. The man who denies Allah is called kafir. Following this, various Quranic verses described as to how Allah conferred honor and dignity on children of Adam. Man is made masterpiece, he is given talents, he is granted special favors, man is raised to a position far above other creations. Also it is described when human beings practiced Islam, how they would be peaceful and comfortable both in this life and hereafter. Hereafter means the life to come later on, once this worldly life vanishes. Later on, what we discuss is translation of Quranic verses given about the history of mankind. That Allah created Adam and Eve as first pair. Afterwards, what happened is their offsprings spread all over the world. Quranic references I've given as how Allah has sent different among different people or among various nations, in every part of the world, several prophets, and what all these prophets preached. That is, first prophet was Adam alayhi salatu salam, to the last prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon them all. All of these prophets possessed one and the same religion, which is Islam. And to convince people, Allah sent His signs in the form of miracles through these prophets. Regarding miracles of prophets, as I told you earlier, it's a very big topic. There are several, countless number of miracles. If you study, then only you would know how many miracles, several prophets were sent, hundreds of thousands. And each prophet had done some miracle or other, and some prophets did more than one miracle. So miracle is a very big topic. I have omitted in some other occasion, inshallah, I will describe the miracles of prophets. So following that, the family life is described, parent-child relations described in the light of Quranic verses. Say what the Quran says, show gratitude to me and to thy parents. Also a hadith described highlighting the social aspect of Islam, how the non-Muslims' rights are protected under Islamic law. In the political field, the Pact of Yathrib described, which was a pact signed by Prophet, peace be upon him, with non-Muslims. Under the topic revealed scriptures and people of the book, translations and meanings of several verses of Quran was given, and these were discussed in detail. For example, Quran confirms earlier prophets and earlier revelations, and it was told how the people of the book hide name of Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name, how they hide it, and which is mentioned in their books. The fundamental principle of Islam described, to whatever is beneficial to man is permitted, and whatever is harmful is prohibited. So in its place, as a replacement or as an alternative, many good things have been given to fulfill the desires and needs of people. So the people call it dangerous topic. Some don't want to discuss that. So the death is a big topic by itself. Only a brief things have highlighted the topic of death. And the basically my aim was to give you in the light of Quranic verses. Only 5-6 verses I have given concerning death. Following topic, the belief in hereafter was discussed with special emphasis on accountability of our deeds. The sense of accountability should always remain implanted in Muslims' mind. This I repeat it again. The sense of accountability should always remain implanted in Muslims' mind so that he could never behave irresponsibly. Islam enjoys the privilege over all the religions because it is the only religion which is for the whole universe. Message of Quran is for all humanity. It's just not confined to one section or one sect or a group of people or a community of people. It is for the whole universe. So Islam is a universal religion. About its universality, several points I have given. So the name of Islam is unique, as it is not named after any prophet or its followers, or nor it is named by any place. This was also given. The language of Quran is unique. It's so eloquent, sublime, exalted quality which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who did not know how to read or write, nor was he learned in any branch of knowledge. The Quran is the only book on earth whose text is available in its original form, word by word, in the exact order as revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, as regards to authenticity of Quran, in all 10 points are described which confirm that Quran is a divine book. Moreover, it is explained how Allah promised to protect Quran. A reference of Quranic verse is also given. Quran is the only book which is bayhatted by hundreds of thousands of people in every period, right from Prophet's time until now. You have also known through this discussion that Quran supersedes all previous messages. It serves as an ultimate verdict of Allah. When humanity had reached its maturity, Allah sent down the Quran as His final word, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is last of all the prophets. Now I would attempt to define primary kalima of Islam. People also call it starting point or foundation or essence of Islam, which is in Arabic, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no deity except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. It is the expression which differentiates a true Muslim from a disbeliever or unbeliever. This is also called the expression of belief in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah and messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this expression stems out all the concepts, attitudes, moral values and guidelines for human behavior and relationships. How can all this follow from this one simple statement or kalima? Remember one thing, mere chanting of few words won't do. You have to accept this doctrine with full consciousness and adhere to it in practical life. That is kalima, you have to adhere to it in the practical life. I'll give an example. Repetition of the word food cannot fill your stomach. Mere chanting of a medical prescription cannot heal the disease. Same way, mere chanting kalima la ilaha illallah won't be helpful to you. So we avoid fire because we know that it burns. We keep away from poison because we know that it can kill us. Analyze the kalima wording, tawheed, la ilaha illallah. Everyone knows the meaning of la. La means no. Ilah means one who is worshipped, that is a being which on account of its greatness and power is considered worthy to be worshipped, to be bowed to in humility and submission. La ilaha illallah attests not only the oneness and uniqueness of Allah, the deity, it signifies at the same time the oneness of the lordship, the sovereignty and the authority in the universe. The word Allah, on the other hand, is the essential personal name of God. Allah is the Lord of all creation. He creates what He pleases, giving each of His creations the nature, function and role which He desires for it. All things are under absolute control of Allah. He is master of all. He is infinite and eternal. Allah is all powerful, all wise, omnipotent, all knowing, all seeing. Allah possesses limitless powers and He has supreme authority over all that exists in the universe. It is essential that all these divine attributes and powers must be vested in one being. It is impossible for two or more personalities having equal powers and attributes to coexist. They are bound to collide. They are also bound to occur lack of coordination if there is more than one. And if this happened, the world would fall into pieces. So say kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, there is no deity except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The purpose for which Allah created human beings is to acknowledge Him, worship and obey Him alone, and at the same time to manage the day-to-day affairs of our worldly life and administer it with justice and righteousness according to all wise laws commanded by Allah. So friends, by this time you have known what is Islam. Islam is not a mere belief system chanting some rituals. Rather, it's a total way of life, a complete system governing all aspects of man's existence, both individual or collective. Finally, I conclude today's discussion by reading the translation of some Quranic verses. Chapter 34, verse 28. We have not sent you but as a universal messenger to all people, to give them glad tidings and to warn them against sins, but most of the people do not understand. Chapter 48, verse 28. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to proclaim it over all religion. Chapter 22, verse 78. Hold fast to Allah. He is your Lord and Master. He is the best of masters and the best of helpers. The believers, chapter 9, verse 71. The believers, men and women, are protectors one of another. They enjoin what is just and forbid what is evil. They observe regular prayers, practice regular charity, and obey Allah and His Apostle. On them will Allah pour His mercy, for Allah is exalted in power, wise. Chapter 9, verse 72. Allah has promised to believers, men and women, gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein, and beautiful mansions in gardens of everlasting bliss. But the greatest bliss is good pleasure of Allah, that is supreme felicity. Chapter 6, verse 20. Those to whom we have given the book know this as they know their own sons. Those who have lost their own souls refuse therefore to believe. Lastly, Quranic reference, chapter 16, verse 89. One day we shall raise from all peoples a witness against them from amongst themselves, and we shall bring thee as a witness against these thy people, and we have sent down to thee a book explaining all things, a guide, a mercy, and glad tidings to Muslims. So friends, with this I conclude. These Quranic verses are clear enough, leaving no doubts. So why delay? Why don't you get benefit of the divine message contained in Quran? Turn to Allah in repentance. Embrace Islam, the religion of truth. Say kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Finally, we end today's discussion with prayers. Oh Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and defend us from the torment of the fire. Ameen, summa ameen. Sadaqallahul Azeem.